We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Jai, Canto 10, Chapter 4, the atrocities of King Kamsa, verses 44 and 45, I was told. Oh, there's one more verse here. Am I allowed to read 46 also if we feel spirit to do so, because it's the last verse of the chapter. Okay, but together we can read verse 45. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, surcharged with passion and ignorance, and not knowing what was good or bad for them, the asuras, for whom impending death was waiting, began the persecution of the saintly persons. Before we go to the purport, let's read the previous verse. These demons, the followers of Kamsa, were expert at persecuting others, especially the Vaishnavas, and could assume any form they desired. After giving these demons permission to go everywhere and persecute the saintly persons, Kamsa entered his palace. And then again, this verse that we've just read, surcharged with passion and ignorance and not knowing what was good or bad for them, the asuras, for whom impending death was waiting, began the persecution of the saintly persons. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.13, how does the verse go? Dehino smiñyata dehe kaumaram yovananjara tatade hantara praptir. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Irresponsible persons surcharged with passion and ignorance, foolishly do things that are not to be done. Nunang pramatta kurute vikarma. But one should know the results of irresponsible actions, as explained in the next verse. So this invites us to read the next verse and the last verse of the chapter. Ayur Shriyam Yashodharmang Lokan Ashisha Evacha Hanti Shayang Sisarvani Pungso Mahat Atikrama. My dear King, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. And thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 4th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa. So, this is telling how things are getting charged up, Hare Krishna, getting charged up for Krishna's pastimes in Gokula and then in Vrindavan, the persecution of the by the demons of the devotees is officially beginning. This is where it all starts. Before we discuss this, just to mention that I was reading this morning in Satsarup Maharaj's biography of Prabhupada. It was in January of 1977 in Bhubaneswar, just before 3 o'clock in the morning, that Srila Prabhupada began his translation of Canto 10. And it's mentioned there that the devotees, the brahmacharis, were in the next room, and there was a wall, a thin wall, apparently, so they could hear Srila Prabhupada doing his translation. And they woke up because they were hearing Prabhupada softly making the recording. And he was beginning with the overview of the first overview of the 10th canto, this the brief reference to each of the 90 verses. And they became, the devotees were listening, and they became so excited they couldn't go to sleep again, because they realized this is history in the making. Prabhupada is starting the 10th canto. And Satsarupa Maharaj mentions that they felt like soldiers. Prabhupada was a field marshal, like a general in the field, because it was kind of a temporary structure they were staying in. And it was so exciting to them that Prabhupada was doing this. And they mentioned later on in that day to Prabhupada that they were listening and appreciating that Prabhupada was doing this nice service. So here we are with indeed a condition that one is tempted to compare to current conditions. And indeed, this is what Srila Prabhupada was doing, particularly with the beginning chapters of the first of the 10th canto. As the earth was being overrun by so many military forces at that time, so in the present day, there is, he said, an expansion of military powers. And therefore, what has to be done is the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, the spreading of the chanting of the holy name, and specifically he said, the chanting of Hare Krishna will relieve the burden of the earth. This is the whole notion of why Krishna appears, to relieve the burden of the earth. And so in this end of this chapter, we're getting the explanation of how this burden is being expanded. But, of course, there's going to be a confrontation. Actually, there will be many confrontations. Krishna will sport every day in Vrindavan. I believe it's Jiva Goswami who says it was a daily sport of Krishna to kill a demon as a way of getting his appetite ready for lunch. Sometimes more than one demon in a day. So many, many of these asuras were encountering Krishna, and they're described in verse number 44 as kama rupa dara, as having forms which can be changed according to desire, kama rupa. They are shape shifters. Krishna is also a shape shifter. He expands himself when he is appearing as Vamanadev, then he of course expands himself. That's shape shifting. So Krishna is the original shape shifter, and these, you know, sort of quasi-shapeshifters are coming to see if they can outdo Krishna. But of course, Krishna is going to outdo them at every turn. And everyone applauds. We know that Krishna is always winning. And yet we like to hear again and again how Krishna wins. So that again and again we can be assured that indeed Krishna is victorious, that the Lord always prevails over the demons, over the asuras. The word demon, I looked it up, it's from the Greek daimon. And originally the word didn't mean what it means today as, you know, some evil person. It simply meant a spirit. And the spirit might be an evil spirit. It might be a good spirit, any sort of spirit. And interestingly, also from the Vedic side, the word asura, in the Rig Veda, it doesn't just mean demon as we understand now. This idea of demon as we think of today actually comes out of the medieval Christian tradition. And it does have, of course, this sense of possession, you know, being possessed by evil spirit. In Bhagavad Gita, as you know, in chapter 16, in the beginning, Krishna is listing, first of all, the Daivi Sampat, and then the rest of the chapter, he's speaking about Asura Sampat. And the word Sampat, Prabhupada translates in the word for word as asset. So the daivi assets, the godly qualities, and then the asura qualities. The word asura, again, was neutral, and it is cognate with, it is quite closely related to the Zoroastrian Ahura Mazda. In fact, the H, Ahura, this is how the word Hindu happened. It was Sindh and Sindhu, and then from the northwest, they were saying Hind, to refer to India. And now we're stuck with this word Hindu. But Asura, Ahura Mazda is the god of Zoroastrianism. So, but then eventually, especially in the Puranic literature, then Asura comes to have the sense that we understand it today as the opposite of the Suras. So we have this understanding. Well, I want to look at one verse in Prahlad Maharaj's prayers in Canto 7, Chapter 9, where Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I've been thrown into this condition of being associated with asuras. And it's interesting, his analysis of why this is the case. He says, Trastosmyaham kripanavatsaladusahogra sangsara chakra kadanat. The word kadana is also in verse 44. Persecution. Samsara chakra kadanad grasatang pranita. Badha svakarma bir. Ushattam atengri mulam. Pritopavarga sharanam. Fayase kadanu. The verse ends in a question. The question is kada, when. When Vyase, are you going to call me? It's a prayer to Krishna. When are you going to call me? To where? To your lotus feet. Angri mulam. But here's what I find interesting in the verse is, in particular, is the sequence of participles. Sorry, technical word. But it's a kind of verb in a sort of passive sense. There's four of them here. Would you like to get this explanation? Yeah, you ready? So there's trusta. Trusta means frightened. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I've been frightened. Trusta asmi. I have been frightened. I am frightened. In fact, he emphasized, trasto asmi aham. I am frightened. Kripana vatsala, and then he is addressing the Lord as he who for whom the kripanas, Prabhupada translates as, well, kind to the fallen souls. Okay, but then the next participle is pranita. Pranita means cast, thrown. So I'm frightened, having been thrown, where? Having been thrown into this association with these horrible people, with these nasty people. And then badha. Badha is again a participle meaning bound. So I'm frightened, I've been thrown down, I'm bound, and how am I bound? Prahlad Maharaj says, svakarma bi, by my own activities. He takes responsibility. He takes, he acknowledges himself as being the cause of being put in this situation. And then finally, pritaha, endeared, having been made dear to Krishna. Prito, upavarga sharanam, having been made dear, vaya se kadanu, when are you going to call me? I'm waiting for you to call me out of this situation. Badha svakarma birushatama. So bound in the world. Recently, I've been telling devotees, I found this so interesting. I came across one film, a documentary on the internet about the Tihar jail in Delhi. This is a very large jail. You know about Tihar jail? It's a very terrible place. Some 10,000 prisoners are there. And out of the 10,000 prisoners, 9,000 of them have yet to be sentenced. They're just waiting for their sentence. And this can sometimes take several years before the Indian legal system gets around to having their trial. So they have no idea, all these people, how long they're going to be there for. And some of the most hardened criminals are in this jail. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible place. Well, the chief of the prison was assigned at one time is a lady. And she came in and she said, we're going to change this place. We're going to change this place from a prison to an ashram. Everyone looked, you know, what are you talking about? Anyway, sort of a long story, but eventually she got some teacher of this meditation system, which is a highly impersonal form of meditation from the Buddhist tradition called Vipassana, where they start out by just meditating on your breath. They do that for 3 days minimum, and then they start focusing on what's the mind doing. But they don't have any, you know, sort of direction for it. But the point is that even this process for these people, they did tests, they put first smaller groups, then larger, then they did 1,000 together, 1,000 prisoners together. And at the end of this thing, people, the prisoners were coming out and like different people, they were saying, now I understand why I'm here. Now I understand I'm here because of my own actions. They were taking responsibility for their own actions as a result of this rather, I would say, preliminary form of meditation. Just imagine if they could be introduced to chanting Hare Krishna. In any case, this is an indication, I think, a nice sort of underlining this point that Prahlad Maharaj is making. He's saying, Badhasva karma bhira shattama tengri mulam. I recognize that it is myself who am the cause of this condition. This, of course, is what we could say is step number one in devotional service, recognizing, taking responsibility for my condition in the world. And that means the opposite of taking responsibility, of course, is to not cultivate the victim mentality. It's because of this person, that person, the other person, that I am suffering. No, it is because of me. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And then Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, is reminding us of what we always want to remember, that the movement of our bodies, dehi nosmin yata dehi komaram yovanam jara, is very much a matter of our activities. And so we want to be responsible, able to respond. This is what spiritual life is really about, is in a sense, in terms of our actions in the world, as long as we continue in this world, is now let me be awakened in my response ability, my ability to respond to the environment around me. This is our task as devotees, to be responsible, not irresponsible. Prabhupada is saying irresponsible persons who are overcome with passion and ignorance foolishly do things that are not to be done, but one should know the results of irresponsible actions. And what are the results? That's in the final verse. Ayu, Shriyam, Yasha, Dharma, Lok. All the benefits that one gets, one is bound to lose them. We don't want to lose what Krishna gives us. We want to use what Krishna gives us. So we say, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? We want to use everything that Krishna gives us in his service. And we want to do this to spread, to expand the Krishna consciousness movement externally, but also, equally importantly, we want to deepen the Krishna consciousness movement for ourselves and for our communities. As we carry on our practices of Krishna consciousness, we want to be thoughtful. We want to be reflective. What could I do better? What could I correct in my own thinking? How can I be more sensitive to the needs of those around me? How can I indeed engage in the loving exchanges that that Rupa Goswami reminds us are essential to making community? And how can we thus be an enduring community such that people are attracted to be parts of the community, to participate in the community? This year we are celebrating 50 years of ISKCON. I was happy to be able to be in New York. I just met Yogeshwar Prabhu out in the parking lot. I was like, wait a minute, because I had just met him a few weeks ago in New York, and now he's here. I was in New York for a few days, and I visited Tompkins Square Park. We often say that ISKCON began at 26 Second Avenue, as it did. That's where the document was signed, at 26 Second Avenue, which, by the way, is now going to be directly adjacent, I mean, back to back to one very large building that's being constructed. Before it was a petrol station there. That's torn down. Now there's some big high rise going up. And so 26th Second Avenue looks even smaller. It's a very humble beginning of the of ISKCON. I went to Tompkins Square Park and I visited the Hare Krishna tree, which is officially the Hare Krishna tree. It has a sign on it, the Hare Krishna tree. It's where Prabhupada would stand. You know the famous photo of him standing and speaking. And it struck me that this is, we have the beginning of ISKCON at 26th Second Avenue, and we have the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement at the Hare Krishna tree in Tompkins Square Park. Now you may ask, are you making a distinction between the two? And I would say, yes. Srila Prabhupada often spoke of the Hare Krishna movement, the Krishna consciousness movement. He refers to it six times in the preface to his Bhagavad Gita. And as Prabhupada started ISKCON, ISKCON and the Hare Krishna movement were coextensive. They were coextensive. And certainly whenever Prabhupada spoke of them, he saw them as essentially the same. But the times have passed over some decades now, and it seems to me, and this I think is a subject for discussion while we're in the 50th year and perhaps continuing, what now is the relationship between ISKCON and the Hare Krishna movement? Can ISKCON be the sort of engine that drives the Hare Krishna movement? Can it be the educational hub where the Hare Krishna movement is educated, is trained, as Srila Prabhupada wanted it to be, so that the waves of the Hare Krishna movement with more and more energy can expand outward to affect the whole world, as Srila Prabhupada wanted it to do? Or do we think in sort of sectarian terms that, you know, there's ISKCON and then there's something else, but we have nothing to do with any of that. And so people start to then perceive ISKCON not as in terms of the Hare Krishna movement, but as something more sectarian. I don't think that that's what Prabhupada had in mind. So these are some of my thoughts on that subject. But getting back to our subject of the Bhagavatam, we might also reflect on how it is that we live in such disturbed times. We might say, despite all of our efforts, sometimes we may feel a little discouragement. We understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. He has come to change the direction of the world. And as we read the news, we hear of so many horrible things happening. How is this the case? If nothing else, this should be an impetus for us. We need to do something more to make more people aware of the culture of Krishna consciousness, of the culture of the Sankirtan movement, of the practice of glorification of the Lord. In whatever way that people are inspired to glorify the Lord, but not in ways that are destroying others. So the demons, the asuras, are being dispatched by Kamsa for the pleasure of the Lord. In his pastimes to come, they will meet with the Lord, and the Lord will sort of have some fun with them. So this becomes also an inspiration for us. Let us also be ready to face the world with all of its all of its disturbances and let us strongly represent our Guru Parampara, to give them, to give everyone that which our acharyas are so desirous. Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord, he says in this purport to Trastosmyaham, he says, I think he uses the word anxious. The Lord is anxious to bring everyone back to God. Yes, the Lord is not just anxious. He says the Lord is extremely anxious to deliver the conditioned souls, and therefore he instructs all of us to return home back to Godhead. Sarva dharman prityaja mame kam sharanam raja. So Krishna is extremely anxious. Are we extremely anxious to aid Krishna and Lord Chaitanya in bringing people to Krishna? What do you think? Yes? Yes. Even on Monday morning after Rath Yatra. Especially Monday morning after Rath Yatra. Yeah? Yes? You had no sleep. Oh, my God. And here you are. Congratulations. I'm admiring you. You were taking down the carts? You did whatever you had to do. Good. All glories to your service. I was three weeks ago in Lisbon, Portugal. They had their first Rath Yatra in Lisbon, Portugal. And it was nice, but the beginning, the first maybe half an hour of the cart actually moving was a bit of a challenge. They had a vehicle, which they sort of converted into a Rath cart, but I don't know, they maybe hadn't really tested the steering mechanism of the cart sufficiently. So what would happen was the cart it just wouldn't go straight. It would go completely left, and then, you know, the devotees would yell to the driver, no, straight. So he would go like this, and then the wheels would go whoop, complete opposite way. So the cart, and first they had to get through a kind of narrow street. And the police were there, you know, to authorize and protect and direct and so on. And after a while they were kind of like, so what, you know, sort of, what's going on here? What's this about? And the devotees were getting a little bit nervous, like, And I was just wondering, because it's Lord Jagannath and it's Subhadra and it's Baladeva, and of course they have their perspective, right? So what are they thinking? Or what are they doing? Or what's happening? And then I remembered Baladev. It's Baladev. It's Baladev's fault. He's probably taken too much Varuni beverage, and therefore all of this is happening. So anyway, for some time this was going on, but eventually they figured out how to make it go straight. So like this also, sometimes the Hare Krishna movement is a little bit going this way, that way, the other way. And now it's 50 years. Now let's go straight forward with full energy. What do you think? Haribo. Yeah. A moment. You can have two moments.
I wrote a poem. You mentioned two words. You said demons and fright. I wrote a poem in my first book called Every Days. Every day's a struggle. I feel the demons there to keep them undercover, gasping for fresh air. My goal is to continue every noon and night to smile and say I love you, Krishna, in spite of all the fright.
Thank you.
And Yogeshvara did the foreword on my first book.
Say again.
Yogeshvara wrote the
foreword
on my first book.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Krishna had me travel 10 hours here from the United States to learn a lesson. I had a serious struggle a few days ago, and I didn't know why I was undergoing that struggle. But I realized it just the other day. I realized what was going on, so when I get home to the United States, that my situation with my wife isn't that bad after all. And it was a hard struggle, and I thank Krishna for that. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, one other thing.
I'm not knowing your good name.
Who can tell me where Prabhupada's, ISKCON's latest temple, newest brand new temple, is being built in the United States as we speak at this moment? Who can tell me? No. No. There are bulldozers right there. The construction is going on as we speak. It's where I'm from, Prabhu.
Oh.
Las Vegas.
Whoa, Las Vegas.
Brand new temple being built.
Nice.
We get 30, 40, 50 people every time. So when you see me, this is what's happening to Las Vegas.
Nice.
The future of ISKCON is happening in Las Vegas, Prabhu.
You can teach all the people of Las Vegas to renounce gambling. That'll be quite an accomplishment. I think it's, thank you.